I'll be speaking tonight from 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's not my intent to cover all the verses. Wasn't really sure where to have Brother Tom start or stop, so we had the whole chapter. It will appear for a while like we're going verse by verse, but then that's going to change. I'll be jumping then a little. I would entitle it tonight, Six Illustrations of Faithful Service. And I often saw several of them, but I had a little pamphlet by someone, and I can't remember his name to give him credit, but he saw six here, pictures or illustrations of a faithful servant or faithful service. Brother Nelson's choice of a last hymn there fit right in with the one. As we sang there, stand up, ye soldiers of the cross. There's not one of them in verse 1, and yet we want to talk about verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 here, we are in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Why does Paul tell Timothy to be strong? As men turn from truth and fight those who are faithful, the faithful will experience hardship, difficulty, tribulation, maybe persecution. Paul himself is in prison right now as he writes. He's there again, and he'll be there the rest of his earthly life at this point in a dungeon cell. Who does Paul encourage Timothy to be strong in? Himself? Hardly. He says, my son, be strong, not in your own strength, but he says, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's telling him to be strong in someone, in a power outside of himself. It's a very important point. You know, there was a point in Peter's life that he was feeling quite strong. When he told the Lord that he would die for him and he would never turn from him, never forsake him. At that moment in Peter's life, he was only talking about the strength within himself. Peter's own strength. He wasn't feeling strength from any other source, I don't believe. And that's why it failed. Zechariah, the prophet, says in chapter 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 to 10. Very important scripture here. Paul is saying in verse 8, concerning the thorn in the flesh, he besought the Lord three times that he might be delivered of it. And here's Jesus' answer in verse 9. Jesus isn't saying, I'm going to necessarily take it from you, but my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, you're feeling weak. Well, that's just where my grace can jump in and go to work. And then Paul responds and says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong in somebody else. Strong in the Lord, in the grace of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not your own, but in the might of God. Finally means there in Ephesians 6, 10, that word finally means from now on, from this point on, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Recognizing one's own weakness and dependency on a much greater power that we don't fall in pride. From here on to glory. You know, finally, from here on, from now on, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be discouragement, there's going to be persecution. And we're not going to make it through all that on our own strength, just like Peter found out. But we will in the power of his might. Every one of you will make it in the power of his might. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We come to verse 2 and we have our first illustration of faithfulness and of a faithful service or servant. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's four generations mentioned there, if I'm not mistaken, of teachers of the word of God passing it from one generation to the next. We have all been taught by faithful teachers of God's word. And it's very unlikely that we would be at least exactly where we are now, as far along in our spiritual strength and life as we are right now, if it had not been for those faithful teachers in our past. We in turn must be faithful teachers, placing the soul-saving word of God in the hands of others. If we are not faithful in this God-given responsibility, I believe we will be held accountable for the spiritual falling away of the future generations. It's very, very critical and important, this teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God must be taught in its entirety to faithful men who will then take up the task and teach others also. Teach the next generation. It only takes one generation to lose it all. And it's gone. And there's a heathen generation that rises up. The flock of God must also be protected from false teachers. Titus chapter 1, 10 and 11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Greedy. Not doing it all for the glory of God and the Lord Jesus. Matthew 28, I'm going to get there so I get it right. Matthew 28, it's the Great Commission here, I believe is what it's called. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, amen. Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Verses 3 and 4, we find a second illustration of a faithful servant, that of a soldier. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, verse 3. The thought here is of endurance. What good soldier is ready to quit or surrender as soon as there's a bump in the road, as soon as things get tough, as soon as the battle intensifies? What good soldier, what good faithful soldier is ready to turn tail and quit the fight as soon as it gets tough? The soldier is going to experience hardship. Hardness means hardship. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It means suffer affliction. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth He that endureth to the end shall be saved. The soldier endures. The faithful soldier of the cross of Christ endures. And I guarantee you, we'll have to endure some opposition, some hardship, some persecution, maybe ridicule, just some really tough going. Also in James, chapter 5, verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Behold, we count them happy which endure. They which endure hardship. They which endure very difficult circumstances and reverses in life. A soldier is an illustration here of a faithful servant of the Lord. What does it mean exactly to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? A soldier in the U.S. military defends the U.S. or U.S. interests. A soldier of Jesus Christ, defends truth, defends what is right. A good soldier is further explained in verse 4 of our text. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier is to please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Imagine a soldier. He's so concerned about the stock market that he takes some electronic gadgets, he straps them all over himself, in around all his weaponry, his gun and sword, knife, and he takes this into battle. And at a critical moment in the battle, the battle is intensifying and lives are at stake. Quick action is needed. Lots of hustle. But he hesitates a moment because he's just getting the right numbers and he's real excited about what he's seeing because it appears like his stocks are doing great. And boom, he's dead, he's done for. You would say, how foolish. Or when he's pulling that knife, he gets all entangled in his electronic gadgetry and whammo, he's done. We say this is an idea that's quite foolish, and yet Christians get all entangled and spiritually stunted and helpless against the enemy, and some perish. Materialism, the cares of this life, make a many of Christian weak, right when they need to be strong, and the attack comes. I think we overlook it over and over. A good soldier, a faithful soldier of the cross of Christ, that faithful servant must have single purpose of heart. Some characteristics of a faithful soldier, a good soldier of Christ, single-minded purpose of heart. They know what they're focusing on, and they're not distracted by the cares of this life. They're not entangled. Their lives are at stake. The earthly soldier. Extreme discipline further describes the soldier who successfully defends the enemy and represents well their commanding officer or general or captain. And I would add, absolute obedience is of utmost necessity for this soldier to be successful, that he would have absolute obedience to his commanding officer. Single purpose of heart, extreme discipline, and absolute obedience. Those three. I'm sure there's others. But if a soldier, and if we as soldiers of Christ, have those three, we'll be well on the way to bringing honor and glory to our commanding officer, our captain, the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. To a degree, yes, we must be employed in worldly matters, in worldly affairs. But we cannot allow entanglement to the point of distraction to our higher and far more important calling. I like Matthew Henry's comment on this. Those who will war the good warfare must sit loose in this world. I'll repeat that. It's from Matthew Henry. Those who will war the good warfare must sit loose in this world. Yes, that we may please him who hath chosen him or us to be a soldier. Who are we aiming to please? In verse 5, we find our third illustration of a faithful servant, that of an athlete. The faithful servant must strive to be crowned, must put forth great effort, energy, enthusiasm. Did you ever see a successful athlete who wasn't enthusiastic, who wasn't obviously putting all his energy into it? Acting like life itself depended on a victory. Effort, energy, enthusiasm. We're talking about an athlete. The one who expects a crown cannot be lazy or even off guard for a moment. Very similar in some aspects to the soldier. Furthermore, he is not crowned except he strive. How? Lawfully. Athletes are disqualified when rules are broken. Many years ago, I guess I'm getting old, it's over 30 years ago, when I ran a cross-country race, there were flags that marked corners of the course. You're going to go up here and over here, the flag's here, you didn't go in here. You went around the flag. Guys that did that number, when they were seen, they were disqualified. There are rules in athletics. And a man must strive lawfully, or else he is not crowned. Baseball, if you step on the plate as you're swinging at the ball, you're out. It's a rule. Basketball, if you double dribble, the other team gets the ball. Football, if you cross the line of scrimmage too early before the ball is snapped, it's a penalty. I don't know, 5 yards, you guys know. But there is a penalty, there is a disqualification, there's a setback. It makes winning much more difficult, and maybe you've been disqualified altogether, depending what you did. Well, let's think about that. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ, and we're being likened onto an athlete who must strive lawfully, according to the rules. Serious business. I believe many will someday cry out, "Give me my crown! I want my crown!" And there won't be a crown, because God's book has been disregarded. When the ball player ignores the rule book, he loses, and so does the Christian. So does the Christian. Oh, I'll make it divorced and remarried. Oh, I'll make it without the veiling. Oh, I'll make it without modesty. I'll make it in the military. God knows my heart. I'll make it without repenting of my sin. I'll make it with my lusts and corruptions continuing in me. I'll make it with all my pride that's not been repented of and my bitterness. Somehow I'll make it. A thought from the enemy who doesn't want us to make it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into that kingdom of heaven, but it will be he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." The one who obeys the rules will enter the winner's circle and receive a crown, will receive rewards. So, athletes, our third illustration here of a faithful servant. Discipline, rigorous training, self-control, endurance. Things that would well describe a determined, faithful athlete, and I believe also the one who is striving, who is running, who is pushing forward for their Lord Jesus Christ in the Christian life. The fourth illustration that we have here in 2 Timothy of a faithful servant is a farmer. And we have this in verse 6. The husbandman, the farmer that laboreth, must be first partaker of the fruits. The faithful farmer takes opportunities. He sees open doors and he jumps on them. It's been rainy, maybe for weeks, maybe for months. There's an opportunity. The ground has just gotten dry enough and there's another rain in the forecast. He jumps on his tractor, he hooks up the disc or the plow, and he works that ground. He doesn't hesitate at that moment. Maybe it's to the planting point and it's been wet, but there's an opportunity. It's a little window there, a little door, and he jumps on it and he gets the crop planted. Maybe it's the same way in harvest. The crop there's a great chance it's going to perish. There's going to be a lot of loss because it's been wet or whatever. Or maybe it's ready to freeze. But there's an opportunity and the farmer jumps on that opportunity. He goes in that open door of opportunity and he does what a farmer has to do. Maybe there was even a long-planned fishing trip or something, but it needs to be canceled. Maybe there's just a perfect chance to spray. The faithful servant of God will share the word of God when given opportunity, when given an open door. The faithful church of God will give their full effort into getting the word out when that opportunity is presenting itself. We do not know when that door will close, and there is no more opportunity in that area. We must seize opportunities to preach, to teach, to evangelize, to go forth in mission work while that door is open and not closed. When the word of God is sown, God will not allow it to return void. Some of us plant, some water. God gives the increase. The results are up to him. The faithful farmer is characterized by hard work, by diligence, and by patience. He needs to wait on the crop. Many times, evangelists, teachers, missionaries need lots of patience. They might really get discouraged if all they look at is the obvious and it don't appear like there's anything to be excited about. And yet that is in God's hands. Our job is to be faithful. Faithful servants. Verse 15, we're jumping here to verse 15 for our fifth illustration and of a faithful servant, and that is of a workman. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A craftsman, a worker, maybe a woodworker who turns out beautiful furniture. Maybe a machinist who turns out a precise metal part that the tolerance is just a few, thousandths, or else it won't work right. But that craftsman, that machinist, he has built up his level of skill through determination, through hard work, through discipline, through practice, and he can do it now. He can turn that part out to a precise measurement. And because of that, it makes the machinery work. It makes the tool or the machine work that it is put in. These workers study their occupation. They learn all they can about it. They practice, they work, and they practice some more, and they become highly skilled so that they are not ashamed of their final product. Not ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. A product that pleases the boss. A product that satisfies the customer. We need to satisfy God, the one who has called us into the work of his word. And I believe that includes every one of us. Are we just as enthused about studying the word of God that we might teach in a right way and apply the principles of scripture in a right manner? As that carpenter is of how that finished product of furniture looks and whether anyone would really want to buy it? Are we just as enthused and concerned about the word of God that it is rightly brought forth and taught, that the principles of scripture that are applied are done in a right manner, and that we are not ashamed of our handling of the word of God? A workman needs diligence. He needs hard work, and he needs skill that comes from practice, from pressing on. Number 6 tonight, we jump to verses 20 and 21. This illustration of a faithful servant is that of a vessel. 20 and 21, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. In a day of apostasy, a clean vessel unto honor is a call for separation. At various levels. Verse 19 ends with these words. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. Are we a mixed vessel that has lost its usefulness? Or is it easy to see what we're made of? Is it easy to see within the vessel of ourself what we are? What is likely to come forth? You wouldn't put gold and ground earth in the same vessel. You wouldn't think of dirtying that gold. Vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. In James chapter 3, 10 to 12, the Bible says this. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Does it? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. That's at the end of a discourse on the tongue. The tongue speaking one thing and then the tongue speaking another. Blessing and cursing, or good or bad. And then it's also a type of our whole life. Wow. Can a fountain bring forth two kinds of water? Should a vessel bring forth a mixture? A mixture of confusion? As vessels, we need to maintain and display consistent testimony for Christ. As a faithful servant, as faithful Christians, we need to be vessels unto honor, sanctified, that word means separated, set apart, meet, that word means fit, or usable for the master, for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Did any of you ever get careless, or somebody else in the household got careless, and you went for the sugar bowl and it was mixed with salt? It's not very pleasant. But when we're all mixed up, it's not very pleasant for our master to try to use us. Six illustrations are pictures of a faithful servant, that of a teacher, that of a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a workman, a vessel. What kind are we? What kind are we going to strive to be? We want to be the type that brings glory to God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, as we have over 11 months of this year left, let's be faithful. God bless you.